Welcome to Brave New Bookshelf, a podcast that explores the fascinating intersection of AI and authorship. Join hosts Steph Pajonas and Danica Favorite as they dive into thought-provoking discussions, debunk myths, and highlight the transformative role of AI in the publishing industry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Brave New Bookshelf. I'm one of your co-hosts, Steph Pajonas, CTO of Future Fiction Academy, where we teach authors how to use AI in any part of their business. We're launching lots of books that are AI forward, assisted by AI with authors at the helm making books. And it's been a lot of fun, a lot of great ideas coming in from people out there wanting to work for the press. We were pulling from our current students at the Future Fiction Academy. So, you know, if that sounds interesting to you, maybe you should come join the accelerator and get in on the action. And then you can learn how to use these tools and possibly write your own books or write for the press someday. You never know. It could happen. So yeah, I'm really excited. There's been lots going on. I'm also putting together a lot of the additional stuff for this podcast all the time. I put together a blog post, some images, get them all up in the social media and whatnot. And I also put together a newsletter now. I try to make sure that I get it out every single time. If you want to go and sign up for our newsletter, it's at bravenewbookshelf.com/subscribe. And what will happen is that the day after an episode goes live, I send out a newsletter. It's got the blog post that I write for the blog that's at bravenewbookshelf.com. And it's got the links and everything in there. And then this way, if you're listening and you're like, oh, I really want to go check out the blog post, and then you just forget, you can just sign up for the newsletter. It'll just show up in your inbox. So isn't that great? Yeah, we'll go do that. So once again, that's bravenewbookshelf.com/subscribe. So go check that out. As usual, I'm here with my only wonderful co-host.
Hey, Steph, are you like cheating on me?
I'm not cheating on you. I promise. I promise it's just you. Danica Favorite, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Really excited for today. And I'm like, ooh, and excited about all the stuff you're doing. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Danica Favorite. I am the community manager at Publish Drive, where we help authors through every stage of their publishing journey, whether that is getting the right metadata and keywords or AI book covers for their books, or getting distribution to the widest audience possible. And then finally, once you have that book published and out there making sales and you've got co-authors, we can help you split your royalties, which is great because the only thing we can't do is help you write the book, which that is why we have Steph here. It's super great and really excited to see like all the stuff Steph is doing with the newsletter and all the things we're trying to do to get more attention to the podcast. And also part of my job at Publish Drive, I just got assigned this task today. But my boss was like, hey, you guys have such great content. How much of this can we repurpose for Publish Drive stuff? And I'm like, all of it. If you also want to follow any of the Publish Drive accounts on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that, I will be hopefully very soon repurposing a lot of our content there as well, because this is great content. We want people to learn. That's why we try to get so many different guests. Also, remember to like and subscribe to the Brave New Bookshelf Facebook and YouTube. So like you can get us all kinds of places. But now that we have most of our admin stuff done, I really am excited about today's guest, Novi Callum. I have been a fan for a long time. And it was really funny because when we came in and we were chit-chatting as we were recording, we're like, it's so great to see you again. And both Steph and I were like, oh, wait, we haven't actually met you in person, but we've interacted with them so much online that it just feels like we're already longtime old friends. And I was just telling Novi that I am addicted to their Instagram right now. I know in the end we'll give some links and things, but they're doing such cool things with video. And it was funny when I put out the call to say, hey, does anyone have ideas for guests? Novi was one of the people that was recommended a bunch of times. And I said, it's so funny because they're at the top of my list to ask for this fall season. So clearly you all have the same love for them as we do. And I'm really, really excited to introduce you to Novi Callum. Novi, tell us about yourself.
Thank you. And I've interacted with both of you enough that I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm going to hang out with friends. I'm Novi Callum. I write queer, trans, and non-binary sci-fi, fantasy, romantasy, typically romance related. And I've been a published author since 2014, but I have only been self-publishing in earnest since the last 4 years and really took off about 2 years ago. So it's been a wild ride since then. I figured out socials and then it took off. But that's how it goes sometimes. But yeah, I do a lot with AI video. I'm already making movies, so to figure out how to use AI to make high quality feature films and TV and stuff like that. So that's my trajectory right now. Straight up right in the middle of forming the LLC for a studio.
That's exciting. When you think about the trajectory of the last few years in AI, right? We started off with just a little bit of text, and then Midjourney came along, and it was this some of the very scary first images of Midjourney were a little creepy, a little weird, right? And now here we are, we're making movies, we're making videos, and we're making amazing imagery, amazing text. You could do full cast audio now. It has really, really exploded. And I'm excited for you because I feel like you really grabbed a hold of video and you were like, I'm gonna make this mine, right? Took your stories and put them out in a visual way so that people can actually see your characters and understand your themes and the kinds of things that you write about. So, what was one of the first things that you really wanted to make into a film, TV, video type thing?
So I have two series, and one was like the one that really took off to begin with. And that I initially wrote that series as a CW show in my head. Like it's got this ebb and flow and all this drama and a big cast, and it's all pretty people in my head. So that was what I first started. I played with the very first version of Runway, and I have a TikTok from, I don't know, a year and a half ago or maybe 2 years ago. It's bad, but it's wonderful for characters from that. The other series I have, which is my main series now, and which is probably what you see most of on social media, is a romanticy. And that's the one I'm going to be adapting first because it's less ambitious than a 7-book series. I've always been cinematic because I was a cover designer and I was always chasing that. And there's only so much you can do in imagery. I want it to move. I want it to talk. I want it to do this. I want it to do that. I think it was on Veo 3 the day it came out and pushing stuff out with it. It's fun. It's just fun.
I love it, and I can tell that you have fun with it. So, first of all, I'm going to make a prediction because Steph and I try not to because we're always wrong, but I really think I'm right about this. Steph, like the past few interviews we've done with video, you are so passionate about video. I think that in a few months, year, something like that time, you are not going to introduce yourself as the editor in chief of Future Fiction Press. You're going to be the head producer of Future Fiction Films, and someone like me or somebody else is probably going to be like, no, I'm the editor now because Steph is our movie maker now. Because that passion just comes out, and I'm here for it, by the way.
From your lips to the universe's ears. Let's see if that happens.
Yes, we're manifesting it. It's so exciting. And I don't know how the order of the episodes are going to come out, but for those of you who heard our last interview, we had Michael Evans. We just interviewed Michael Evans about all of his film stuff, and Novi's name came up in that interview. So I'm putting it out there to the universe because I do think that the three of you have such brilliant minds, deep passion for this, and I'm really excited. Which leads me to that second point of I've been riveted to Novi's Instagram because a lot of their videos about this new romanticy are out there. I'm going to be buying the book to read on the plane when I go to Nink next week, which this episode will have aired already by then. But I'm riveted, and I'll be honest, I'm not a romance person. I've never really gotten into the romanticy. And I'm like, no, man, I need this. I need this book because it sounds amazing. And part of what's amazing to me, and this is something that I wanted to get in here in this conversation, is that Novi writes such amazing representative stories that I think, number one, They need to be movies. They need to be out there because we need more representation. And I am so grateful to you, Novi, for putting those books out there that are representative. And I would love if whatever you feel like sharing about putting that representation out there, I would love to hear it. And I'd love for our audience to hear it because I do think there are people out there wondering about representation. I want them to know they are not alone and AI is here to help them as well.
Yeah. So funny thing, 2, 3 years ago, I was absolutely convinced that my queer books would never sell. Like, straight up, you couldn't talk me out of this. I was on my bandwagon. And it took daily iteration of TikTok on 4 accounts, like 2 hours a day for months of just doing the same hooks over and over again, to start seeing them take off and then getting comments of people like, oh my God, I see myself in a book for the first time. Or, oh my God, I've never seen a book like this. Oh my God, I haven't read in 10 years because I didn't know books like this existed. Over and over again, I was seeing these kind of comments. So I kind of turned my train around and pushed hard in that direction. And a lot of my social presence has to do with joy in the representation. Not, I don't know, some people are kind of like you just can't. The negative end of it, I don't know. I don't know if I'm quite saying
Yeah,
that right,
no, I
but
understand. Yeah,
yeah, I understand a lot because I feel like you, and this is what's attracted me to you and your work and all of your videos, and I can't get enough of them because they're that joy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I love this. We need more of this. Really, thank you.
A lot of the stories surrounding, queer characters and diverse characters can sometimes be just about their struggle, right? It can focus a lot on their particular struggle of what they're doing with their family that they're living in or whatever, and sometimes it can be quite negative. So it's nice to see that there's this joy in your work. I agree with Danica. There's a lot of joy in your work and it makes me smile. It gives me the warm fuzzies. I think that's where you set yourself apart from other books in your sphere and your genre.
as a reader, I get frustrated sometimes because, like you said, there is so much books about queer trauma, and that's really heavy. That's really, really heavy. And when you've got book after book after book of that, you start getting depressed versus, So my books are about queer people being epic and having their enemies to lovers stories and all of that good stuff. It's not about the people being upset about them for that. And that's what I want to do with movies too, because the trans movies that exist are like countable on hands and toes, maybe a few times. But of all of those out there, most of them are focused on like the real world struggles. And I'm like, no, I want my trans Captain Kirk off having adventures or something like that. It just things like that, where it's like the character just happens to be and the story moves on. That's what I have been reaching for. I've been pursuing AI writing like crazy, but I'm not entirely synced up with it yet. And a part of that is because the LLMs still have a lot of the bias. So I haven't hit the point where I'll go through a thing with Claude and just say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then Claude's, oh yeah, cool, we got it. And then gives me back an outline that is just full of transphobia. And I'm like, no. So we're not quite there yet. But I'm getting closer. But what I really would love to do is somehow figure out a way to just blast out this type of content in quality and quantity, and then bring that into the movies and blast off that with quality and quantity. Most of what I've been doing this year has been process building and figuring out how to do those things.
I think that you're a pioneer on this one, maybe heading out there with the more positive stories. And I think that by being a leader in this space, I think that there will be people who will be following you.
I hope. I really
Oh,
hope.
yeah. Like,
I hope, quite honestly, I'm so full steam ahead. I don't always stop to assess what I'm doing and any impact it's having. I know that what I've done has already helped in other creators' things. It's like people have told me that. But to the degree, I have no idea. I'm just like, On to the next, on to the next, on to the next. My friends know I'm a bit of a chaos gremlin and I've always got some sort of manic project going on, but it's a lot and it is a responsibility, but also it's just fun. That's mostly what I'm after.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's very clear you're having fun with it. And I think you're like, is this working? I mean, you've got two people here who are like, give us more, give us more. And so I'm excited about that. Usually I ask a direct question about how you're approaching AI and publishing, but I think we've nailed that topic. So I want to go to my second question because you touched on it. And now I want to hear details because you're like, I'm creating processes. And so we always ask people what their workflow looks like. And so I'm very curious, as like kind of that workflow question, tell us about those processes because I think it'll be really interesting for people to know and see what that process looks like or what processes you feel have to be created.
God, I've integrated AI into almost everything I'm doing these days. So it's like, where do I start in this spider web? It's so heavily in my socials. I would love to be able to automate my socials more, but the AI stuff hasn't quite done as well in many cases as like my in-person stuff. And I think part of that is audience trust for me. So I am still pretty heavily on camera, but I have someone like helping me make the book flip videos now, where I hold up a book and flip it around. I built myself an app, three-fourths of an app, with Lovable and then Lovable broke. So I took it over to Cursor and then kept working on it. And it's this social thing that I'm hoping to for it to be like as part of a movie studio as well. But I more urgently needed socials so I can dump a bunch of Midjourney videos into it and give it a bunch of hooks text files, and it'll just zip it through and overlay the text on top of it. So theoretically, if I have enough videos, I can make a couple dozen to a couple hundred of the AI videos in an afternoon, and an hour's worth of just me tweaking the hooks so that TikTok doesn't get mad that the text is the same. So a lot of my process has to do with the repetition of that, the repetition of socials, the repetition of hooks. I am always drilling down to the tighter hooks and the tighter text. Something works, something goes viral. I pull it back in again, try and find why it works, and then tweak it. A lot of what I'm doing is that. And as much as I would love for ChatGPT to help me with that, it's not that great at it. It's not viral TikTok great, but I'm always in and out of like ChatGPT and Gemini are my of choice ones that I use all the time because I argue with Claude. I argue with Claude. I'm always in and out of them and pitting them against each other. What do you think of this marketing strategy? Here's what I did this week. I'm going crazy. Help me figure out a way through this mess because I have no time left. Things like that. I have people running Midjourney images for me now. I don't have time to do it anymore. So I've hired that out and I got someone a mega Midjourney account and he ran through it in, I don't know, 3 days. So I've just got this massive amount of content that I'm constantly pushing through the machine. I'd use Midjourney and I roll it myself, like for my Patreon, because I release chapters ahead of time on Patreon. I've got this multi-tiered system going on where I release it on Patreon while I have it on pre-order on my direct store. I figured out this time as I'm getting ready to push out a paperback of my latest release, I can gather all the images I made for Midjourney on my Patreon for swag. And I'm like, this is a bonus. So I was just doing that this morning where I'm going through the Patreon. It's like, which were the higher rated posts and pulling that in. I make videos and put them on my Patreon as well. Just putting them on the post, it takes 5 minutes to do a Midjourney thing and then turn it into motion now. So I'm constantly in all of this, and I made a soundtrack. So I've been pulling in like Suno songs and putting them on posts. I made a soundtrack because I had an ad running with an AI video, and people were like, "What is this song? Where can we find it?" And they were trying to like, I forget what the service is that identifies songs. They're like trying to Shazam. They're trying to find it, and there was like it was three people deep trying to figure out what this song was. And I'm like, "Oh God!" So I took a weekend, knocked out like 15 songs, put up an album and sold 10 of them in the next few days. And I'm like, this works. So I'm just all over the place.
But
Whatever's working.
it seems that you're You're cultivating like a following, right? You're using social media and Patreon and probably a bunch of other different platforms to bring people into your content and get excited about it. Is the ultimate goal to get them to buy your books, or is it like to join your Patreon or do like a newsletter or that kind of thing? That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about that workflow that you've got going, which is a lot of it's imagery, it's video, it's massaging the hooks and making music and doing all this stuff, which goes out into the ether of the social media and whatnot and captures people's attention and brings them in to your universe, your world. But I'm curious about what that ultimate world, that goal is. Is it getting them onto a specific platform or what might it be?
I think it's ecosystem. Like, I'm very much gearing toward, I'm starting production studio and I'm going to start with my own stuff. But what I really want to do is bring in IP and develop it, like buy, license other people's IP and develop, because not everyone's going to want to make movies. So I am looking to be Disney. Not that's not an ambitious goal,
This
but
is great. I love this goal. This is a great
See,
goal.
want you all to remember, I made this prediction. I predicted this. So when Nova is like the super Disney AI person, just remember, I predicted it. Thank you very much.
I talk about a lot with my friends who are also doing similar things. I have been under heavy fire for using AI from specifically the queer community, which tends to be very anti-AI. Like, even this morning, I had this long email in my inbox that was just like, but it's one of the things that I've gotten a little burned on the author community, if that makes sense. I'm backing out of being an author, more of a storyteller. I almost want to develop movies first and then punt them to books and then punt them to audiobooks and audio dramas, like all formats, blasting off all translations, comics, games. Like, we were looking at the Runway's new game engine thing, and it's okay, how do we develop this for ourselves so we don't have to do it? It's not that hard. It's just getting the generations in the right place. So I my goal isn't like become a best-selling author. I've hit some of my career goals and found that you can make multi six figures and still like be struggling income-wise because of the ad spend and all of that. So I'm like, okay, that's not the end goal. The end goal is empire, the multimedia empire. And for income, yes, and also for influence, because I've got this mission and I have seen how rabidly hungry people are for diversity in books on TikTok. Like, it's like this petri dish of you hold up diversity and people are like, oh my God, I didn't know it existed. And it's not that these books don't exist, it's that traditional publishing is not marketing them like that to the people who aren't readers or the people who have been abandoned by the industry. And they are absolutely rabid. And I've seen this happen twice. Two different series that I have, and two different, completely different angles, bringing in these large audiences where comment after comment is, oh my God, I need this. Oh my God, I've never seen this. So, like, to me, that means that the market vacuum is enormous. So, my goal is to hit it in every format that I possibly can. And it is wonderful for someone on Instagram to be like, I'm so sad it's not in French, frowny face. Oh, yes, it is. Here's the link. And they're like, what? Because never, it queer books never get translated, very rarely. And which honestly is a little hard to translate non-binary pronouns. I actually had to strip them out of a few books and then make a note. But it's that is the end goal, is basically just empire, multimedia empire. And I've been studying like Tyler Perry's business model and these other creators. There's people I've managed to somehow go into their orbit or pull into my orbit, and it's like just we're finding out cool things. And I think with the AI, it's so interesting because it's a level playing field. Because some people have filmmaking experience, some people have storytelling experience, some people don't have either, and they're just ramming at it anyway. I think it's going to be so wild.
I agree. And I love that you keep saying empire because I really
Not
believe in
evil
that.
empire.
Yeah, no, I believe in creating this empire where there's a level playing field. And you talked about these people who have been abandoned by the industry and this idea of this vacuum. And I'm like, yes, let's create that empire so that these places are filled. And going back to our interview with Michael Evans, I love his positivity and the idea that it's not this evil empire like you were saying. It's this idea that there is a place for everyone and every kind of creator. And it saddens me. I thought it was maybe just my queer friend group, as opposed to you have that same experience where they're so anti-AI. And I'm like, do you people not understand that this is the leveling of the playing field? This is you getting the chance to step up and be heard. I know I've said it before, but I'm so grateful to you for being able to step up and say, I am here. I want to fill the vacuum. I want to let your voice be heard. And the reality is, all the things that you're doing, it wouldn't be possible without AI. And so that is amazing to me.
Yeah, thank you. And I mean, it wouldn't be possible. It just wouldn't. I mean, specifically the visuals, that just would not even be possible. With my first series that took off, there is a lesbian couple that is a white woman and a curvy black woman. I found one picture after days of searching on deposit photos that accurately represented them. And according to most of the stock terms, you're not even supposed to use anything that's not specifically marked with the representation of what you're trying to represent. It's considered sensitive use, and Shutterstock has all these policies where you have to pay them extra money to cover legal needs. It's this thing. So you can't even do it fully legally. I found that out with clients, and it weighed really heavy on me. So when AI first came out, I was like, oh my God, this solves everything. I was one of the crazy people trying to chase photorealism in Midjourney version 3. I was loading stuff into Photoshop and using Photoshop's filters to contour the face. Looking at it now, it's no, that was not it. But I recovered my books, Midjourney version 4 something, or maybe it was early 5, but I recovered my books at that point, and it's still the covers they are now. I'm going to recover them in a few weeks again because things have updated. But that series started taking off on its own just on those covers alone because it was different. It was something that you just hadn't seen because Midjourney could pull in visual styles that just didn't look like every other cover out there. And I could get the characters on the cover. I could get my gender fluid king wearing a dress. I couldn't get that in stock. So it's, yeah, I lost the thread of where I'm going with that.
I love this because it's like you can obviously tell that it's really exciting and a passion of yours. So I'm happy to hear you talk about all of these things. I'm specifically hoping that we can talk about this next question that Danica is going to ask because I would love to hear about the tools that you use. Danica, do you want to talk about tools?
Yes. Tell us about your favorite tools. Obviously, you have a lot of different tasks, so there's no one tool to rule them all yet. I'd love to hear about some of your favorite tools for particular tasks.
So I heavily use Plot Drive in writing, research, and filmmaking now because I've got my script to shot conversion buttons. I heavily use Plot Drive. I use Gemini and the ChatGPT interface. I have the Google Ultra subscription because I'm crazy for the videos mostly. I got into Gemini because it's technically free through there with the cost of the videos. I use Veo 3 a lot. That's the backbone of the video. I have a Kling account that I paid like the huge yearly subscription and I hardly use it. I use Veo 3. I use Freepik. I did not like Runway. No, I loved Runway last year and then all this new cool stuff came out and then I'm like, psh, Runway. I did a competition with they had a competition like a couple weekends ago and they have this new thing where it edits video. It's called Aleph. I got a character in the screen with me with it, which was crazy. It weirded me out for days. I'm like, oh my God, I just pulled this character into my living room who does not exist except anywhere in my head. This can be a little mind trippy. So I love Runway and Midjourney. For images, I tend to use Midjourney ideograms for covers. Ideogram 2 does better. I do a lot in Freepik because all the image generation is free now if you have a certain amount of account, and it's not even that much. So I do a ton in Freepik. I love Nano Banana. That's the new one. That's Google's new one. I sent out my release day newsletter the other day with a mock-up where I took a book brush mock-up and stuck it in there and said, in a castle, in this, in that. And it gave me this glorious castle that l looked like echoed from the cover. And I'm like, this is amazing. So Nano Banana is awesome. And they keep coming out with new things like every single freaking day. But I just saw Seedance like updated, and now it could do what Nano Banana can too. So it's like all of this. So I am, whatever tool I'm using is the best for the workflow at the time. But if there's a new one that comes out, I will just snipe after it and go after it. And that's my new favorite. So I am like polytool amorous. I don't know. I'm not devoted to anything. I tried to go off and have a love affair with Claude, and Claude was not it for me. But I like Claude in Plot Drive. I like work, but I don't like the Claude interface. I'm just all over the place, and it's like something shifts and it's okay, we'll go off after that for a while. So trying to think of any other tools that I use all the time, but I think that's kind of that's mostly the main ones. And then I'm building an app that I have, it's semi-functional. It's functional enough for me to do my socials in, but what I really want it to do is upload a book and cascade through, turning it into a screenplay, turning it into building out like a film dossier. I love the story dossier thing. It's like film dossiers. And then turning that into a shot list and then generating the images and then generating the videos. And, or no, it cascades into the characters. And I already got this working in a different app. And now I'm trying to do it in this one where it pulls in the characters and then generates them and all of this. And then pulls that into like the verisimilitude to get the shots right for the movie. So it's possible. It's not easy yet. It's possible. So I don't think we're at push button movies quite yet, but I think we'll get there. But the very last tool I use is DaVinci for editing. I think that's like the whole picture. It's a lot of stuff. I spend way too much on AI subscriptions a month. And 11 Labs, add that in there too for the audio and voiceovers and the audiobooks. So I like to make the full cast audio dramas now. I'm in love with that. And it's not that hard. It's not even that time consuming. Honestly, I've got shiny object syndrome, and if that intersects with getting things done, that's a really good thing. Yeah, I think
And
that's all.
Suitu for music
Suno,
AI.
yes. Suno.
Didn't want to forget that one too. I love
No.
making music. I love music and I love making music. And that's one of my favorite things to do is like to go in there and just put in a really random prompt. What am I gonna get out of this and see how it is? It's a lot of fun too.
No. I could spend days on Suno. I have things to do. But yeah, I Suno for, and it can like separate stems now for pulling in movie soundtracks, and you could edit the stuff. I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't sleep very well most nights because my brain is very full. But I'm like, I'm always turning over, okay, how do I take this and this tool and make this thing that isn't really possible, except it's gonna be because it needs to be. But yeah, and I was looking at, there's another one, M Music GPT, I think, because I'm like, I'm trying to API this so to pull it into my movie app. So that one's actually pretty decent too, but it's not quite Suno, but it's better than Udio. That one's pretty decent. But yeah, all the tools.
All the tools. And that's what I love about this is that you get a chance to get out there and try them all and you tell us about them. And then if I notice that Novi has moved on to something else that's really awesome, then I just go and see what you're excited about. Because I know that if you're sticking with a particular tool, it's because it's generally doing its job and it's doing it really well. And you don't have the need to go over and find out if anything has come out that's even better. So I'm going to stick with you and your tools because that's where I'm going to find the tools that will help me as well. All right, we're going to wrap up here in a minute. Danica, did you have any final words that you wanted to ask Novi about?
No, I think most of our guests, we could sit here and talk for hours. And I'm sure in the future we will have you back because There are going to be some really cool things to talk about. Thank you so much for coming. I really loved it and can't wait to talk more.
Yeah,
Me
thank you
too.
for having me.
Me too. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. Before we go, though, I want to make sure that people can find you online. So tell us about the places that you are the most. I understand that you are pretty much everywhere, right? Where should we send people who are interested in your work?
My home base online is my name, novaekalem.com. I'm on Instagram at novaekalemauthor and Facebook at novaekalemauthor. And TikTok is at Novi. Don't ask. I don't know. That was a while ago. But that's the main places. If you want to keep up with tools, I have just started a school with Cassie Alexander.
How do we send people to that as well? Because I know you, I know Cassie really well. I know you guys are working on video and like teaching that to authors as well, or teaching that to anybody who really wants to learn. So where can they find out about that as well?
That is AIMarketingForStorytellers.com. And that'll
Wow.
take you to the school. And the school is our brain dumps. It's not super structured. We're both pretty busy, but we Zoom with each other and dump our thoughts and we process dump. We're going to do, I did that runway short film and I'm going to Zoom with her and teach her how to do all that stuff. You'll get to see that too. We're a little chaotic, but it's fun.
Chaos is good because you know what? Everybody learns from that. Everybody learns in different ways, right? Some people learn from really structured material and other people learn from the chaos. And I think that it's nice because now we have something for everyone. So thank you so much for coming today. We really appreciate it. I'll make sure for everybody who's listening, you want to come by the blog, read the blog post about this particular episode, which I will put together. I'll put links to Novi's stuff in the post. I might even go and grab a few images from like your Instagram and whatnot and put them on there too, get a little visual going so people know what you're doing. Okay. And then, yeah, so come by to the blog and check out that. You're also going to want to subscribe to us on the socials. We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, subscribe, all that good stuff. Danica, do you have anything else that you want to say before we head out?
No, I think you hit it all good. We got all the likes and subscribes, which is what we try very hard to remind each other to do. So thank you all. And yeah, subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Absolutely. We will see you guys all next time on the next episode. So, from all of us, we're going to say goodbye now. All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Brave New Bookshelf. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us at bravenewbookshelf.com, sign up for our newsletter, and get all the show notes.